brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerd's Domain podcast. This week, I am Matt. I'm always Matt, I guess. This week, though, I'm with Shirley.
Hello.
And Jesse.
Howdy.
And you are listening to one of our Criterion Collection episodes. Jesse, what exactly is the Criterion Collection?
The Criterion Collection is an extended director's cut of fancy films.
That's one way
to
say it.
They're not all fancy films.
The Criterion Collection is a collection of films chosen by filmmakers, and each film is shown in the director's original vision. So usually they're considered what would be considered director's cuts, but sometimes these cuts differ from the actual director's cut.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they're shorter, even.
Yeah, yeah. So this week we're talking about 12 Angry Men, the original, the 1957 original, with Peter Fonda and the voice of Piglet, and other people that I don't really know.
Jack Klugman.
And Ed Begley Jr.'s dad, Ed Begley.
So one of them is the voice of Piglet? Because a lot of them sound
familiar. Yeah, the little squirrely guy that was the banker.
Yeah.
Either one or two.
Juror two. Glasses, balding. Yeah, he's the voice of Piglet, and was until his death in 2005.
Yep.
So... All right, so 12 Angry Men. Jesse, why don't you give us a quick rundown of this, because you loved this movie, right?
I really didn't enjoy it, but it's been a while since I've watched it, and I'm not sure.
It did or did not?
Huh?
You did or did not?
Did or did not what?
Enjoy.
Oh, I loved it. It is a great film. I also liked Jury Duty, which is basically the same thing with Pauly Shore. But
I could see that as a thematic remake, sure. Shirley, would you mind giving us, since we watched it since Jesse did, and give us a rundown of the basic plot, a quick overview, not a Star Trek
in
episode.
Depth
no,
overview.
No, quick overview.
I'm like, I don't know if I can do it from beginning to end. Anyway, so a quick overview is, well, just set the scene, to so to speak. When the movie opens, you open on this courtroom and a judge telling the jurors that they can go out or that they can leave the room. And then as they file out, the camera kind of pulls back and you see the back of the defendant handcuffed and in front of a table. And as the camera pans around, you realize that this defendant is what looks like a child.
I don't want to interrupt, but there is a key aspect there. Henry Fonda's character, juror number 10. No,
yes.
Nine or ten. Nobody has names in this.
Right. Everybody's named their juror name.
While everybody else is walking out, he turns and looks at the kid meaningfully. There's a moment there where he already feels bad about this kid. The fact that he is a kid, the fact that he might... And the judge says, if you find him guilty, there will be no mercy. This is death penalty.
Right.
So, like, there's this moment of recognition in Peter Fonda. Peter Fonda or Henry Fonda?
Henry Fonda.
Henry Fonda. There's this moment of recognition in his eyes that he has this kid's life in his hands. And that really is the catalyst for the whole movie, the entirety
right.
of the movie.
So, after everybody files out, the next scene is in the deciding, I don't even know, juror's room?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Juror's room. It kind of fades into the juror's room, and we see the 12 men filing in. They're trying to decide where to sit, and... basically, what they're going to do is they're going to sit in this room and decide the guilt or innocence of the kid that has been put on trial for the murder of his father. And most of the men that are filing into the room seem antsy. They want to get going. You know, this will be quick and easy. And I guess they don't realize that the movie was an hour and a half long. So at that point in time, Peter or Henry Fonda's character is the last person to file into the room, slowly, almost begrudging, not begrudgingly, but drudging, like he has this weight upon himself that he's carrying into the room. All of the other jurors are kind of walking around and talking nervously, and then finally, and Henry Fonda's character isn't saying anything, but they finally decide how they're sit. They're going to sit by juror number, and then they get into the first vote of deciding this kid's guilt or innocence, and it goes on from there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a general overview.
And the entire, other than the opening scene and the closing scene, everything is done in that room or the bathroom attached to it.
Yes.
Every single moment. They set the scene with the heat. It's just hot. They open the windows. The fan won't turn on. Everybody's warm, but everybody's also in a suit because it's, you know, the 50s. That's what you do. So they kind of walk through each step of the murder. Or they take that first vote. Henry Fonda's the only one to say not guilty. They all get kind of angry, and then he starts bringing up objections, the things that are causing questions in his mind. And he starts, I don't mean this in a bad way, but he starts picking apart the case to say, this is why I don't think so. This is why I don't think so.
Right.
As the movie progresses, he slowly brings everybody else around to his viewpoint. There are 12 Angry Men is a very, like, everybody's angry at one point.
Yeah.
It's a very solid theme. The directing is really well done. You have one room to work with.
Right.
But
back then, they didn't have, like the cameras weren't very portable because they were so big.
No, these things are huge.
Yeah.
These are huge. I mean, even your Super 8s, which were the small handheld cameras in the 60s, were the size of, like, a briefcase.
Right.
I mean, they're not small.
Right.
So
the editing was done very, very well. I mean, you couldn't see any of the cuts.
I saw a couple of small continuity errors. Like, this got moved between one shot and the next with no reason. But the majority of stuff was just spot on. They introduce all of the characters through the personality and a small background about them by having them interact, but never give anybody names until they're leaving and the two of the guys talk for just a second and give last names.
Yeah.
And that's it. So they, thankfully, they sat in order. I would have lost track.
Yeah.
But everybody has a personality. You learn things at the beginning that matter later. Like, it's... The directing and the writing are so good for this. I mean, it felt at points like a 1957 movie. The black and white always throws me off.
Right.
But after a while, I didn't even notice that. There was a little bit of here and there where the overacting was a little rough when they were getting mad, but even then it was still solid.
Right, because, and the thing is, sometimes when you get that overacting in very, very emotional scenes, you can see, like, it's acting. You can see that it's, and there's that fine line between this is a real emotion and this is an emotion being acted out. And the guy that I kept, I don't remember his juror number, but the guy that I kept saying looked like Sylvester Stallone.
Juror 5.
Yeah. He was no holds barred. There wasn't anything about it that felt like he hadn't experienced some type of this emotion sometime in his life, and that was what he was.
Well, and it felt like he was experiencing it then. It didn't feel like acting. He felt, all of the characters felt real. All of them.
Right.
There was a couple of points at the very beginning when Henry Fonda felt a little off, but I think it was his character trying to figure out how to bring this up and not be treated badly, and he was for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse, Shirley and I have talked a lot. What did you think?
The things I want to talk about is the plot of the story.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Because I did enjoy it, and I understand what the guy was saying through all of it, but all of his... I don't feel like the... We can spoil things, right? I mean...
Go ahead. No, go ahead and spoil it.
It's 1957, dude.
Well, you never know. Sometimes it's too soon. I don't think the innocent verdict should have been cast.
Okay.
If anything
they didn't. Whoa. They didn't cast an innocent verdict. They cast a not guilty verdict.
Yes,
there is a very extreme difference.
But I don't think it should have been not guilty. If anything else, it should have been at least thought about longer, because he argues a lot of things that makes it seem like there's a plausibility he didn't do it, but nowhere does it prove that he didn't.
Right, but that's the American legal system. All there has to be is reasonable doubt. And I think that they brought up reasonable doubt.
See, I don't know. When I was watching, I tried to pick apart parts of the cases. First off, I love noir stories, and this is a very noir-y. This is one of the first noir stories I've seen that wasn't directly like a detective story.
Yeah.
Touch. But it's like, at one point they explained about the knife and the fact that the kid was smaller than his father, and the stab wound was stabbed downwards. And for him to have done that, he would have had to have held the knife in a position that made the blade go up.
Yeah.
Juror 5 states that he grew up around knife fighters and says when you're a knife fighter, you fight with a switchblade with a point going down.
Up.
Is it up?
Up.
Yeah, up instead of down. That's what it is. But there's nowhere does it state that this kid's a knife fighter.
Nope. They say earlier that he got into trouble and that he was in those kinds of situations. They did actually do the legwork of telling us that.
But with the switchblade? Because he also stated the switchblade was common and he could have picked it up on the store on the way there.
Yeah. I guess they didn't mention that specifically, but yeah. But again, it's reasonable doubt.
True.
It's reasonable that he grew up in that part of town and knew how to use a switchblade. It's reasonable that all of these other things. So the reasonable is the key word there. And I know you, Jesse, and I know you're looking for an exact yes or no.
Yeah.
But there isn't one here. It's just that's the way the American legal system. I love that it highlights the legal system in such a positive way.
Yeah, I was surprised at that going in, because I had heard about this story before I watched it from another person. I'm taking creative writing classes, and one of the teachers talks about this story a lot because of the use of the single room and things like that. But I did enjoy it, and it's a movie I'll definitely watch again, which ironically doesn't happen a lot with Criterion Collection movies.
Yeah.
But I would like to know what the difference is between this one and the standard edition.
The standard edition, when we were looking, was just over an hour or an hour and 57 minutes. So I don't know what they cut out. Because this seemed like it moved straight through, like there was nothing that they needed to cut out. And it also felt like, I don't know, like every step of it was right.
Yeah,
if anything was cut out of the movie, then significant parts of it would be lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because I can't picture anything being cut out either. It just doesn't typically happen with the extended cuts.
Yeah. Well,
unless they cut out, you know, some of the meanderings in the beginning.
Yeah. I don't know, and if the standard version is an hour and 57, maybe they cut out some stuff to get down to what the director would have wanted. Maybe the studio made him put more in. It just felt like this movie flew, like, not in a bad way, but it was like,
right.
We got an hour in and paused because, you know, bathroom break and whatnot, and I was like, wow, we've already been watching an hour, it doesn't even feel like that. Now
right.
The last half hour drags out, but that's because they're slowly, methodically tearing apart the case.
Right.
I don't know. I get what you're saying, Jesse. I just in the American legal system. Have you served on jury duty?
I actually haven't. No.
Yeah, they're very specific that if there's a small part of you that says, well, he might not have done that, and here there's a reason for that he might not have done that, then you can't convict him. You have to be absolutely positive, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he definitely did it, or it's not guilty.
Right.
Well, that makes the movie Jury Duty make a lot more sense.
You keep saying Jury Duty, and the only thing I can think of is Runaway Jury.
No.
I know. I've never seen Jury Duty.
Oh, it's got Pauly Shore.
Yeah, I know.
There's a taser. It's fantastic.
It
it's
something I would hate.
It's really dumb, but it's fun.
Honestly, I am not a fan of Pauly Shore, and this is easily one of his best movies.
He is calmed down quite a bit in it.
Yeah.
He's not Encino Man or Biodome Pauly Shore.
I've never seen either of those.
Oh, my. You are missing out on the 90s.
You could, I get, that's something you could say.
Wow, maybe we should make you watch a Pauly Shore marathon.
No.
Oh, I agree.
I've seen one Pauly Shore movie. It's the one where he was in college for 80 years.
That's Van Wilder. That's not Pauly Shore.
No, it's Pauly Shore because he's buddies with the girl that's next door or whatever, and they go to her farm and
that's
they get
son-in-law.
Hitched. Okay,
yeah.
So whatever.
That's
I don't
definitely
remember
not
the name of it.
That one's not about
but
college.
Yes.
That's about him getting married to this girl.
To give you a rough idea, and I hate going way off track on this, but Jury Duty on Rotten Tomatoes, 26% audience, 0 critics.
Really?
Well, I remember, I liked it better than that.
I did too.
I liked it a lot better than that. I was telling...
Not Runaway Jury, Jury Duty.
Jury Duty.
Oh, Jury.
We're still on
were...
Jury Duty. Tell us about Runaway Jury, though. That's fine.
I was like, what? Oh, no, I don't have anything to say about Runaway Jury.
Okay. Okay, so Jesse, you found... was that your big problems with the plot? You said you wanted to talk about plot.
It was. That's basically all there was to it, is I just felt like they went to a not guilty verdict little quicker than I thought they should have.
Fair enough.
And it's like you said, his whole swing to trying to be not guilty was looking at the kid. And guilt shouldn't be what drives you to finding someone's innocence or guilt.
Well,
your personal filth of guilt.
The thing is, I mean, he made his points and justification throughout the whole movie. He kept holding, like, a point back, you know, like he was methodically going through the points that made him think twice about his decision. He's like, well, there's this point. And then, you know, somebody was like, oh, yeah, you know. And you keep going through, and he's like, well, what about this? And what about this? And I don't think it was him feeling guilty for, you know, finding the 18-year-old guilty. I think it was he actually knew that the 18-year-old's lawyer did not do crap to defend him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, so... Jesse, did you've said that your creative writing teacher has been talking about this. What did you feel about the directing?
I thought it was really well done. I mean, everybody seemed on top of it. I believed all the characters. Everybody acted well. It's like you said, it got a little campy in some of the angry scenes, but that's expected.
Yeah, yeah. Did you what did you guys think about the music?
I
noticed it.
There was transition music
neither
a couple of times.
I.
When they came into the room the first time, there was transition music.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, when the 12 Angry Men screen title popped up on it, and it was like that, you know, that bold type or whatever, I was like, whoa. And I feel like that's the only music that I remember.
Yeah,
that title was that,
and towards the, at the end, there was a little bit of music, but it was very, very 50s music.
Yeah. I thought it matched the movie.
Yeah. What did you think, Jesse?
What did I think about the music?
Yeah,
that he doesn't remember.
I don't remember. I really don't remember the music at all. It didn't have an emphasis upon the movie one way or the other for me.
Right.
It didn't influence it, which isn't a bad thing. The fact that it had it and I didn't notice it means it was kind of doing its job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this is a very – it's not a simplistic movie, but it's a very – cut and dry, straightforward to end kind of thing. Like, it doesn't... I feel like we're doing a disservice. We've only been on this for a little bit and really haven't dug deep into it, but there's not much deep depth to dig into. It's just a straightforward movie.
Yeah.
You know, unlike Seven Samurai, we talk... By the way, I'm referencing Seven Samurai because I feel like this is up there with that. I feel like we dug and dug and dug and dug in that one because there was so much going on. This
right.
one was this one room. Here's the situation. Here's what's going on. And then we slowly pull it apart. The case we could talk about, but I really don't think it does justice to the movie to talk about the case.
Right.
The characters were done well. There was interaction between them that was both there was camaraderie and that awkwardness of not knowing the people you're in a room with. And,
right. And then that conflict of, you know, differing opinions.
Yeah. Now, it was at points predictable as we went through it, but I think it's because we watched so many crime shows.
Right. Well, at the end, the thing is, with juror number 5, you knew what was going on as soon as you saw the picture of his son.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, he's going to take, this is, you know, he's going to take his anger.
Well, it was the picture of his son and then the statement of, you give them everything and then look what they do to you.
Yeah.
Which is how he felt about the kid that they were talking about.
Right. I forgot. No,
that's fine.
I did really appreciate the fact that when they started, they all acted like real well that they didn't know each other, and then by the end of the film, they seemed close.
Yeah,
there, there was a lot of character depth in that short amount of time.
There was, and I still think the character depth without names is huge.
Yeah.
Because we didn't learn anyone's names. I know I've already said that, but we didn't learn anyone's names until the end. Like, it was like we learned personalities. We learned who they were through what they were doing and how they felt.
Maybe that's why I like it so much, because it's not so much who you are or what your given name is or anything like that. It's what you are. What you show to other people and what you show to society.
Yeah, that's definitely a way to look at it. I like that concept. All right, so we've gone kind of fast through this, but I really don't know that there's much more to talk about with it. Overall, Jesse, what do you think? Give a recommendation and a 5 out of 5.
Honestly, I'd give it about. I think it's up there with the 5 out of 5 ones. I can't think of a single person who wouldn't enjoy this movie. Given the right setting and the right time, it's really one of those films that I think a lot of people should see.
Okay.
I don't understand why it hasn't been remade.
It has.
Besides Pauly Shore's Jury Duty.
No, there's another, what is the name of it? It's the same name. There's another 12 Angry Men. There was a remake. Give me a second. Let me look it up. Shirley, while I'm looking that up, why don't you give us your kind of wrap up and out of 5.
Yeah, like we've already reiterated, or we've already said.
It was made, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Made in 1997, starring Jack Lemmon as Juror 8, George Scott, Hume Cronin, Ossie Davis, a bunch of dudes. James Gandolfini was in it.
Oh, wow.
You guys I'm not recognizing. Tony Danza?
Oh, wow.
What? Edward James Olmos?
What?
Yeah.
Is it still called 12 Angry Men, or did they change the title?
Yeah, it's still 12 Angry Men. It's got a 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
Huh.
Wow. Okay, go ahead, Shirley. I'm sorry.
Okay. There was the story was amazing. I really liked the story. The character depth and character development was amazing. And I really like courtroom dramas, so even though this was the end of the courtroom drama, you don't get really to see the courtroom very much. But I love Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and so this is right up there with it.
Yeah.
So
this was a new crime kind of crime drama. We don't even see this much now. It's always on the police end. We don't see a lot of the juror.
Right.
Even in Runaway Jury. Like, the focus is on manipulating the situation, not on the actual jurors. Jury duty, surprisingly, does actually have a lot to do with this.
Yeah.
I would almost say it is very much a remake of this movie, which is really strange to me that something so intelligently made could then be remade into Jury Duty. And while it is made for comedy, it still has a lot of those same concepts. So in Jury Duty, Pauly Shore is like unemployed and has nothing going on, meets this cute girl who's on the jury. So he tries to keep the jury in session as long as possible to woo her.
And also he makes a lot of money and he's doing it, and he's got a nice apartment room.
Yeah, he's got a nice hotel room, and then he slowly starts to realize that the guy that was tried is actually innocent, and like pieces it together and shows it.
Oh wow!
It's actually, yeah, it's a really well thought out movie as well, just played with Pauly Shore, so it's made for laughs.
Right.
I personally think it's right up there with it. It's a 5 out of 5. Did you give your rating?
No,
go ahead.
5 out of 5.
I think it's a 5 out of 5. I think this and Seven Samurai are way up there. There are other great movies on the Criterion Collection that we've seen, like Seventh Seal was really good.
Yeah.
I think this one definitely deserves the praise it gets by being on the Criterion Collection, and it probably deserves more, honestly.
So what we didn't cover, though, before we end, is why was this one important? What groundbreaking did it do in the film?
There's no crime drama that was done like this before that.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
That and the seamlessness.
That's why I thought it was.
The seamlessness of this cut. There's two small continuity issues that I saw. Everything else just went one into the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in this one room. It's done very specifically. That's why it's here.
Yeah.
The acting and the script writing are phenomenal. There's nothing that's really, even the weird overacting in a couple of spots it happens. It didn't draw me out of the movie. So, I will say that on this particular one, normally we would direct you to Hulu to check out the things there. It is not available on Hulu. We had, Jesse watched it on Hulu, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. But you watched it like, I don't know, a month ago?
It's been maybe a couple.
And since then it has been removed. I'm not sure what's going on. There are still Criterion movies on Hulu, so
yeah,
we'll have to keep an eye out for that. So this one in particular, you would have to go to Amazon and rent it or buy it there. That's how we got it. Uh-huh. And I'm sure you can probably find it somewhere else, but that's how we got it. That's the quickest way. It was like $2.99 for the standard definition. I think it's worth $2.99 to watch it once.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm almost tempted to go back and buy it right now.
I think this is the first film we all agreed on a rating together, and especially a 5 out of 5.
I think yeah, no, because Seven Samurai was okay for some people. I think one of us gave it a 4.5.
Yeah.
Or a four.
3.5 or something.
Yeah. And Seventh Seal we all agreed was good, but not as good together. I think they're right. Well, no, I take that back. We all agreed on one movie.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. The movie that shall not be named.
Yeah, which was terrible. So, you should definitely check this movie out. I think we're all in agreement there. It is really good. Couple of things on a little update. So last week you got a What You Doing. Next week you're going to get a topic out of us. So we're going to quit doing Criterion movies two at a time, or two a month. We're going to try and do a topic once a month. That's kind of our new format. Also, it's just going to be Shirley, Jesse, and I for a while. We may occasionally have Scott or one of the other guys on, but Johnny has departed.
Guest speaker.
But Johnny has departed from the podcast. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention that I can't think about now. We're going to be looking at immediate movie reviews. We're not sure. There's some really good stuff coming up in the next couple of months. Mockingjay Part 2, Spectre, which we purposely skipped because Shirley and I have not seen Quantum of Solace or Skyfall.
Yeah.
So we skipped that because we didn't want to go into Spectre without that. But then the next Criterion movie we're going to watch is RoboCop. Once again, not available on Hulu. Also not available digitally whatsoever in the Criterion version. If you want to watch it, go out and look for the 20th edition double disc version. We found ours at Disc Replay for like $4. It's going to have the regular movie and then what they call the director's cut. But that director's cut is the Criterion Collection movie. I went through and checked that to make sure. So I think that'll do us tonight. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yep, sounds good.
Check the movie out. All right.
Well, then thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys real soon.